At 6:20, this is KERA News. I'm Justin Martin. A federal appeals court has upheld the bulk of the Texas law SB4 that targets so-called sanctuary cities. Today's ruling by a three-judge panel of the 5th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals in New Orleans allows Texas authorities to enforce what critics call the toughest state-level immigration measure in the country. The law allows police officers to ask people during routine stops whether they're in the U.S. legally, and threaten sheriffs with jail time if they don't cooperate with federal immigration authorities. Republican Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton applauded today's ruling. One provision of SB4 that's still on hold would punish local officials for adopting, enforcing, or endorsing policies that specifically limit enforcement of immigration laws. Austin was the center of the cinema universe over the weekend. KERA's Stephen Becker just got back from South by Southwest, and he talks about the highlights with Ann Bothwell.
You caught up with a lot of documentaries this year.
Yeah, and they really ran the gamut from serious to fun, but I want to talk about the serious one first. It's a film called They Live Here Now, which is about residents of Casa Marianella, which is a transitional house for immigrants in East Austin. And they're from everywhere. I mean, Mexico, Central America, Africa, the Middle East. And Jason Outenreath, a UT graduate, actually directed the film. And you can really tell he spent a lot of time at the house. In fact, he was there for the better part of a year. The film debuted on Sunday, and I caught up with him that day to ask him a little bit about what he learned from spending so much time there.
There's the misconception that a lot of Americans have that people are just dying to come to this country, when the reality is a lot of people are coming out of just pure desperation. And they would much rather be with their families in their home country where they were born, where they were raised, you know. And I think a lot of people underestimate the level of desperation that it takes to drive someone from their home.
The other doc I wanted to talk about is a little lighter. It's a film called The World Before Your Feet, which follows a guy named Matt Green as he attempts to walk every block of every street in New York City, all five boroughs. Green previously walked from New York to Oregon, so you'd think, hey, sticking with one city would be a piece of cake, right? Well, did you know that when you add up all those New York City streets, it's about three times as many miles as the cross-country walk?
That is amazing.
So when I talked with him on Sunday, he actually said the more he walked and discovered, it seemed like the less he knew.
I mean, in New York's case, a place where millions of people live, unbelievably diverse, massive humanity is there. And to, like, think you can know anything about that seems, after this walk, seems kind of an arrogant thing.
There are always films down there with North Texas ties. What about them this year?
By far my favorite was a movie called Never Going Back, which is a film by Dallas director Augustine Frizzell. And this is one of those films where the backstory is almost as interesting as the film itself. So Augustine shot the film in 2014. She was really unhappy with the results and cut it into a short film that actually played at South by Southwest. But she really wanted to make the feature-length version. And so she found the right people to work with and took another crack at it. And the extra effort was really worth it.
Why was she so driven to make that film?
Well, it's really because it's her story. It centers on these two high school dropouts growing up and living in Garland. They share a house with these two other guys, and they work just enough shifts at this cruddy diner to support their party habits. And when through a series of events, they find they're unable to pay their rent, they have to get real crafty on how they're going to come up with the money. Here is Augustine Frizzell talking to the crowd in the theater after the film played.
I could have ended up in a really bad place. I mean, we did drugs, we were stealing, we were up to no good, and I could have turned up in jail or whatever the worst case scenario is. And the more I looked back on that and, like, introspectively, like, deciphered, why am I not like that? And then it kind of boiled down to the idea of this friendship that I had at the time.
Well, that all sounds kind of heavy.
Well, it's not, because it's actually hysterical. And the good news is it'll be out in theaters sometime later this summer.
And that'll be really fun for us to track how the hometown gal does.
I plan on going to watch it again.
Thanks so much, Stephen.
Thank you, Ann.
For more on each of these films, visit artandseek.org. On Tuesdays, KERA's One Crisis Away project looks at life on the financial edge. When people are arrested and can't afford to bail themselves out, they can sit in jail for days or even weeks awaiting trial, and that may cost them their house, job, or kids. As KEI's Courtney Collins reports, a 21-year-old SMU student is trying to level the playing field by starting a bail fund of his own.
Back in the 1970s, Benny Baker was stopped by police while walking to the grocery store. They found a marijuana cigarette in his shirt pocket and placed him under arrest. He was supposed to start a caretaker job at Texas Instruments the very next day. Instead, he spent close to a week in jail. And when he got out, that job was gone.
Well, it went away, you know. That started my criminal record right there.
Since then, Baker says he's been arrested a handful of times for things like driving with a suspended license, displaying a fictitious state inspection sticker, and burglary. Since that first arrest 40 years ago, he hasn't had much luck finding traditional work.
I bought and sold scrap metal. And if you miss a few days of that, you're broke, basically. And, you know, it's hard to make bail if you don't have a steady job, a weekly paycheck coming in.
Baker says sometimes he beat the charges filed against him, but he still had to sit in jail and wait for a judge to hand down the verdict. Dallas County's chief public defender, Lynn Richardson, says waiting out an arrest in jail can cost someone more than a job.
If they have children and they're single parents and they don't have family that can come and take those kids, and there's a possibility they could lose their kids, CPS will take them into custody.
Which means some parents lose their children because they can't come up with, say, $700 in bail money. For some of those people, borrowing that money isn't an option either. Bail bondsmen require 10% up front, and that money is gone for good.
Even when you get a bondsman and you take care of your case and your case has been resolved, you're not going to get that 10% back. And some people, quite frankly, don't have that 10%.
And remember, just because someone is arrested doesn't guarantee conviction. Some people are found innocent. Sometimes charges aren't even filed. Guilty or not, some low-income people still have to wait it out in jail.
Regardless of whether they're innocent or not, we're really exploiting the poor in a lot of these situations.
That's Greg Guggenmos. He's interned at a few policy-focused think tanks and has worked as a lobbyist for the Texas Homeschool Network. Most recently, he launched a community bail fund that will give small grants to people facing charges who can't afford to post bond, so they won't have to wait out their trials behind bars. By the way, he's 21 years old.
There's thousands of people sitting in the Dallas County Jail because they can't pay for bail. And it's not because they're a threat to society. It's not because they're dangerous to themselves or others. It's because they're poor. And I felt like that was wrong and no one else was changing it. So I felt like I could. So I might as well step up.
Guggenmos is a semester and a half away from getting both his bachelor's and master's degrees from SMU and has already raised $4,500 to start doling out bail grants to public defenders in Dallas County. The state has officially recognized the Community Bail Fund of North Texas as a nonprofit. It's real, if small. Guggenmos hopes that won't be the case for long.
Instead of 5 people at a time, we'd love to be helping 50 people at a time or 500 people at a time.
And since the Dallas County Public Defender's Office handled 30,000 adult criminal cases last year, 500 bail grants would make a much bigger dent than 5. Lynn Richardson says seeing this project get off the ground is heartening.
And to think that he is committed enough to do this is just very encouraging to me, that there are people out there that recognize the disparities in the system and are willing to actually do something about it.
That's what it's all about for Greg Guggenmos, taking action. He says he saw an issue that needed fixing and simply raised his hand. Courtney Collins, KERA News.
Mostly clear skies in store for us this evening. Should be a low around 38 later tonight. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high around 68. And tomorrow night, partly cloudy with a low around 50. It's 6:30. This is KERA News.